Hello and welcome to another episode of Puck Dynasty, a part of the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Network. I'm here today with my good friend Evan Diebert. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mr. Black? Friday.
I'm freezing, man. You and I are in very similar situations. It is minus 40 tonight in Saskatoon. I think we're getting down to minus 50 tomorrow. What's it at in Calgary right now?
It's similar. And I think once you're past that minus 35, it all just feels the same.
No, I completely disagree.
I feel bad for the most is my dog. Because my dog won't even go outside.
That's
go
fair.
To the bathroom. Yeah. Like that, I think
that's
she's
a tough one too, because you have to go out, like, out the apartment.
Yeah. And we like go out the door and she looks at me, so are you serious? She's like, I'll hold it. So,
yeah, that's
so she hasn't taken a number two in a day and a half here. And so
to
I told her, I was just like, just go inside, whatever. I don't care. Just do it. And so
didn't you say you had a girl at your house? You can't be behaving like this.
I told her that when she was over. I was just like, yeah, just go.
You said the dog has free reign to poop and pee in the house.
Well, goes outside and then she takes like two steps and then one paw comes up and she like looks at me and pauses and she's like, I can't do this. So
does she do the boots? She must not. Hey,
no, I never. I tried the boots once with her. She was not impressed.
Yeah, that's my dog too. He just went outside and pretty much curled up into a ball and accepted his death on the deck. And I was like, no. Don't make me come get you. Anyways, minus 35 is not the same all around, because minus 35 with another 15 degrees, 20 degrees of wind chill is so much worse. I would take minus 50 with no wind over minus 35 with a 50 degree wind chill. Wind sucks, man.
This is true. Yeah.
Anyways, we have a lot to get to, so let's not bullshit about the weather. We are doing a rather special episode today. Today, it is, you know, what are we at here? Three months since we did our first Puck Dynasty Top 50 prospect ranking. And today we're going to update that after we talk a little bit about a trade that went down this week. But just to give our listeners a context, we are not doing a cutoff for games. Every year in September, we're going to give you a new Top 50. We're going to update it once in the year, maybe at the end of the season too. We'll see. But this isn't a pull guys with 80 games off the list. This is a let's see how we ranked those 50 and how right we've been to this point. Obviously, it's only been a few months. But certainly there's been some change in our minds, and we want our listeners, we want you guys to be able to adjust your tanking or rebuilding strategies accordingly. So off we go. Let's start with a very brief, well, we'll see. Nothing's brief on this show, but a brief around the NHL. Let's talk about this trade. Oh my God, my brain melted. Someone else, this rarely happens. Someone else messaged me and said, what does this do to your thoughts on owning Zellweger? And immediately I raced to Twitter and I was like, what does what do to my thoughts on Zellweger? And my head exploded. How about you?
Yeah, considering I traded Zellweger like 3 or 4 days before this Drysdale trade went down. So, yeah, I wasn't... I still stand by it. You know, I got Timmy Stützle in the deal, so it's good. But yeah, it opens.
Well, you also,
opens up
if you're gonna talk about the trade, what was the trade? Don't just
okay. So
it
so
wasn't
it was a,
straight up.
Yeah, it was figure, Timmy Stützle for Olin Zellweger, Kent Johnson, and Dylan Gunther. Mm-hmm. So I packaged. I have quite the prospect pool, and
depending on who you ask.
Well, you know, I got quite the prospect pool. Yeah. And so, yeah, they were some expendable pieces that were kind of like sitting at, you know, Zellweger's probably the best piece of those three, in my opinion.
Might be Genther. He's looking good.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah. I've had a soft spot for him.
Yes, you have.
Well, but
okay. Time out. Just so our listeners know, if a guy's on Diebert's roster, he has a soft spot.
Yeah, they're all going to make it. They're all tough.
Right? Just for our listeners, how many years did it take you to finally let go of Nolan Foote a week ago?
a week ago. Yeah, I had to drop him as part of that trade.
Was it 4 years? Did you have him for 4 years?
Well, he never produced once he... It was more of a running joke. You know that. But he just never produced in the pro level. He looked like he had everything going for him in the dub. But he's out. So the three pieces for Stützle is having a down year compared to last year. And, you know, Ottawa's just got to figure out their stuff. So it's
a great buy low. You said something to me that I love to hear, which was... When you look back at our under 23 rankings and Stu was number two, you hit accept on the deal. Stu's a great buy low.
Yeah, and you know, between the other guys, those guys were all three of them were in our top 50 of that. But you know, once you get to a certain point where you like you're doing your rebuild, your tank, and you've accumulated prospects and picks, you really have to start packaging two or three of them and identifying top line players.
Yeah, that's what I did last year, and it's led to a top spot so far. You've got enough guys on your team. You can do probably 5 or 10 trades like that before you're actually going to be short active guys on your roster in a few years.
What do you got?
30, 35 prospects in your pool, in your team right now?
I think, like, across the board, like, for our top 50, I think I had 20 of them, maybe like 18, 20 of our top 50 prospects. And then, you know, go by Athletic or other guys that rank the top 50s. And yeah, I was sitting about 33%.
Yeah, in a league that rosters 21 guys. So you're good. Yeah. Anyways, that's big trade for you. But big trade in the NHL kind of rocked the prospect world to its core. Cutter Gauthier traded for Jamie Drysdale. We don't know exactly why Cutter didn't want to play in Philly. And until we know that, I don't care. So let's just talk about who you think won this trade. Who do you think won this trade?
I think the Ducks won this trade. Just purely because they've identified pieces and prospects on their blue line that are going to be moving up with the next wave, and it made Drysdale available, and they were able to add to their forward core with a guy who's a top 15 prospect in the world right now. And so adding Cutter to, you know, Leo Carlson, McTavish, Zegras, Terry, who am I missing on there? There's Vetrano, and yeah, they're pretty stacked up front there. And then, you know, and Drysdale looked to be kind of like the odd guy out there. So they were probably looking to move him.
They're pretty full on D too.
Yeah. With Minty, Zellweger, Luno, and the list goes on and on with the Ducks.
Rodwin looked great at the World Juniors, like we said he probably would.
Oh, I thought he was going to do it for the Swiss in the overtime there.
His advanced stats were crazy, man. He was a top 5 chance generator in the World Juniors by quite a few metrics. Which is, I mean, you know, obviously he was getting the most ice out of anyone on that list, but still pretty impressive. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I think one thing that people aren't talking enough about is Cutter has been a healthy player to this point, and Drysdale has not. To get out from under, I mean, he's got a good contract right now, but to get out from under probably the most movable of their young D pieces and get a guy like Cutter Gauthier is just a huge win. If Drysdale can be a 75 game a year guy and hit his peak as a number 2 or 3 defenseman, in my opinion, I think it looks a lot better for Philly because those types of players don't move a whole lot. Drysdale was the guy we talked about having in our under 23 list for sure. So, he's not without his merits, but for me, the injuries are the big thing. Is when a guy's only played, you know, 20 games in 2 years, and you can get a top 10 forward prospect for him, go right ahead. I'm kind of shocked. Initially, I think it was in one of our group chats, I said I was surprised that was all they could get, and someone said, well, they probably wanted to do it fast so that the news didn't get out, which is a fair point. But I thought to myself, he skipped camp. This has probably been going on for a while. And shortly after that, it came out that it has been going on for a while. So they had 4 months to shop, and this was the best return. I find that shocking. You know, the Montreal deal that was rumored for the fifth overall pick? I think Montreal's going to regret that. Even though I like Reinbacher, I think that Cutter is the type of player that they would love to have. And this year's draft is so stacked on D. You know, I understand taking draft or taking D early in your rebuild because it takes them a little longer to peak, but like they're going to get a defenseman that's probably a better player than Reinbacher in this draft if they choose to take a D-man. So it's interesting. Anyway, so we're saying Anaheim won that deal. And
you know, if like you said, if Drysdale does play 75 games and, you know, Torts has got a good thing going on in Philly right now, there's a gaping hole open there for on that power play one for anyone to take it.
Like on Philly or Anaheim?
Yeah, on Philly.
Philly, they've got four open spots if you count Michkov.
But they got the Zamula playing top power play.
That's an Philly open spot. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, York isn't even playing on power play. They got Konecki's. I mean, Philly is outperforming their roster big time right now. But if you're a fantasy owner, the next forward they draft gets to play with Michkov, has a clear path to PP1. So hopefully they're looking at doing that. I mean, the thing about Drysdale that I don't understand is I don't think he has number one upside. I don't think he has the shot to be the guy on the PP. He's been a pass on their power play in Anaheim when he's been healthy, but not a standout. It's strange to me. There's a lot of other D-men who probably you could have got who I'd rather have than Drysdale, especially with the injury history. You're given the number two piece in your organization for a guy that hasn't played, you know, so it's weird to me, but you know, off they go. Let's see what happens. Anyways, we had to talk about that a little bit because you don't see prospect trades like that. It'll be interesting coming down the line. But let's get into our list. So as I said, we're basically going to talk this through. You and I haven't really talked about what we'd like to do to this list at all. Our thoughts were when we put together this list in our under 23 list, I think we probably spent, what do you think, 3 hours per list, maybe a little more behind the scenes doing it. And a lot of that was conversation, not texting. It was a lot of talking and arguing for guys and arguing for where they should be on this list. And after the fact, we couldn't help but think, that's good content, talking about why we think one guy's 16 and the other guy's 18 or why someone's on the list or not. So this time we're not going to leave it out. So this is new for us. We'll try and keep it condensed and not argue about one guy for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but we might because that's kind of how we get to where we get to. So we're just going to take our pre-existing top 50 and we're going to rejigger it to how we like it now. As I said earlier, there is no games played removals happening here. Otherwise, we were talking about that. And if you pulled guys at 40 games, we'd lose half the list. If you pulled guys at 80 games, we'd lose a lot of the list. And we'd like to talk about why Lucas Reichel isn't number 15 anymore versus just he disappears from the list. So there's a lot of guys who aren't going to make this top 50 who probably should. We've got a list of 10 or 15 guys who we're going to be moving in as guys are dropping out. But that's how we're going to get there. So let's go. I think the top half of this list might be pretty easy. Number one is Connor Bedard. Deeps, you happy to keep him there?
Yeah, he'll stay there. You can see in if you have like a weighted metrics for if you're not in like a roto league, that his plus minus drags down his point per game average compared to some other players. So like we said earlier on when we made the list for this and the under 23, which he wasn't number one, his plus minus is going to hurt him.
He was number two, though. Wasn't he? Number two or three?
He was either two or I think he was three. I think he was even behind Stützle, which we I think we thought Ottawa was going to be better than they were. But
Well, we were pretty clear that if you asked us again in a month, Bedard would probably – if he plays the way we thought he was going to play, he'd be number one, and he is.
Yeah. And his progression was just going to keep flying this year before he got injured here. So
yeah, he's out for 2 months. That sucks.
Yeah, that'll help. That'll hurt the rookie of the year argument.
Oh, there. He's getting McDavided for sure. Yeah. Panarin we'll is see. Winning the rookie of the year this year.
If he can play 60 games, I think he'll still lead all players in points, which will get him.
He's not going to play 60 games. He's missing 2 months. That's 30 some odd games
right there. 6 to 8 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks with an all-star break in there. Mm. So I didn't do the math, but I figure that's like about 22 games or so. They play like 13 games a month. So,
yeah, I don't think we'll see. 60. The way number two on our list is going, I think he might be our rookie of the year. We don't need to talk about Bedard. He's obviously number one, staying number one. Adam Fantilli is number two. He has been hot the last month, almost matching Bedard's production before his injury. For me, he stays at number two.
Yeah, me as well. Yeah, he's definitely progressing and really mature player out there. And he's just kind of, I think what's holding him back is just Columbus is just a colossal fail from the get-go this season. And so
they're really slow playing their rookies in Columbus too.
Which yeah, is, you would think I mean, they would just want to just let him go. Like,
yeah, at some point they need to. Like, just, you know, you're not making the playoffs this year. It's over.
Yeah.
Work on developing those young guys. And they, to their credit, they have been playing them a bit more as of late. But, yeah, it was surprising early in the year, for sure. I realized I'm not writing down these rankings, so I'm going to start doing that. Number three on our list is... My rankings are messed up again. I have him at four, but I know he's number three. Brant Clark. What do you think, pal? Is he staying? Is he moving? Is he up? Is he down?
Well, it's between him and Hughes, really, at this point, I think. Because, you know, like what he's doing in the AHL is pretty special. As a 20-year-old, being third in scoring by the time he got called up to the Kings, over a point per game. And so... if you can do that at 20 in the A, the odds of you being able to, and with his pedigree to be able to replicate that are probably pretty close to doing that with the Kings. Now, the thing with who I would maybe bump up ahead of him would be Luke Hughes. And just because he's doing close to that already in the NHL.
Whoa. Close to what? Point per game?
No, not well. I think the evolution will be there quickly because he's got what 23 points in like 38 games or so. So it's that's pretty solid stat line for a rookie defenseman coming in. Now he was gifted that power play one spot because of Dougie Hamilton's injury, and looks like he's out for the rest of the year. So what happens next year and moving forward is hard to say. But, yeah, between the two, we were kind of like 3-4. These guys are both sitting in a similar position. They both have a big dog that they have to leapfrog to get that top power play spot.
Well, I'm going to put an end to this right now. The reason Hughes wasn't number three was because we thought it's easier to dislodge Drew Doughty as PP1 than it is Dougie Hamilton. Dougie Hamilton's use is as a power play guy. Drew Doughty can serve as a 25-minute against the top line guy. For better or for worse, Luke Hughes has taken over power play one. So we're putting him in number three because it was really a tie and opportunity was what made Clark go three and Hughes four. So let's go Hughes at number three. Let's go Brant Clark at number four. Number five on our list. I don't think he's going anywhere. Matvei Michkov.
Yeah, another great year in the K this year. He's got
20... He's been sick a lot.
What was I reading today? It's so hard and getting news coming out of Russia, but reading today he had pneumonia earlier in the year, and that's kind of like keeps flaring up for him. So, and you know, what is getting sick in Russia? Like it could be a nagging injury. Like they don't have a protocol to make sure that they're telling the truth there. But yeah, this is like the fourth or fifth time he's been out of the lineup due to illness. So that's a little something to concern yourself about, but
pneumonia. But
really, no.
Pneumonia is far less common in North America.
He's such a stud. He's when he comes over, he's going to be able to do the same things he's doing over in the K. It's unfortunate that he won't have Cutter Gauthier there to kind of like help navigate him through and have some elite young prospect talent to join him. But Philly will just keep churning out players, and he's going to be top line everything once he gets in there. And so, yeah, you can't deny the skill and the production that he's able to do in the KHL level.
No. So Michkov sticks at 5. Number 6, we had Lucas Carlson.
Leo.
Jeez, Leo.
Yeah, Leo.
Sorry. I'm looking at other guys here. Leo is number 6. I don't feel like we're moving him anywhere. Do you?
No, absolutely not. No, he's meshed well with the Ducks. He's looked better than you thought he would be. Yeah, the guy is a super. He's going to be. He's got like Barkov trajectory coming up here.
Yeah, you know, if he had played as many games as Fantilli, we might be talking about reversing the two of them, I think. But as they've both been as advertised, maybe Leo a little bit more. But yeah, he's
just polished though. At 18 years old, he might be 19 now, but
coming from the men's league, man.
Yeah, just polished, and he's huge, smart, and once he gets that shot going for him, man, and what the Ducks got going around him, that's the one thing where, you know, like you say, if he could, you know, take over Fantilli's spot just because of, you know, the
talent,
the players, the players he has around him, like, and it's not even just the forward core that the Ducks got going on, it's that decor too. So
yeah, you know, 2 through 6 on this list is almost a tie for second in my mind. These guys are all just millimeters apart from each other. And certainly a big free agent signing or winning a lottery could bump any of these guys up. Like if the Ducks win Celebrini, Carlson probably moves up, you know, just due to talent, man, coming around him.
Ducks getting Celebrini.
We don't need to do that. Number 7 on our list currently is Logan Cooley. Following him is Will Smith, Lane Hutson, Ryan Leonard, Zellweger. What do you think about Logan Cooley? How do we feel about the year he's having? He is hitting, to answer my own question, he's hitting that college wall. This schedule is not Logan Cooley's friend.
Yeah, he's not putting together the greatest rookie season. You know, he's 20-year-old rookie, so yeah, you cut him some slack. But he's only got 3 goals all rookie season, and
you can't blame it on him playing for Arizona because they've been good. They're in a playoff spot.
Yep.
No thanks to Logan.
Yeah, and you know, if you threw him up with Keller, then story might be different, but you got to earn that ice, be in the top line.
Yeah.
Tricky, where he's at.
Who do you think is worth discussing here? Are any of these guys following him on our list? Like, so there's some guys who at some point we're going to have to talk about bumping up. I will throw a couple names that we need to consider soon. And those are Zach Benson, Cutter Gauthier. For me, those two guys need to be in the conversation here pretty soon. So, that being the case, do either of those guys, in a one-for-one deal for you, dislodge Logan, shake Logan Cooley off your prospect tree if you're offered a one-for-one?
I still keep Cooley over Cutter.
I agree with that.
Yeah, just because of what Cooley was able to do at the college level last year. At the same time frame of what Cutter's doing this year. And then
playing on the Ducks.
Yeah, and and then yeah, Benson's Benson's a tricky one. Benson's He's going to be much better next year too.
Yeah, the only thing stopping me from typing in Benson's name right now is the fact that he plays for Buffalo. Not because Buffalo's bad, but because Buffalo's top nine is a just Tage Thompson gets line one and it's all question marks after that. So I don't know where, if Zach Benson, if you think he's going to be on that top line in the next couple of years, for me, he moves into the number seven spot. Radio silence.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where we have to make decisions, right? I would keep Cooley there. Yeah. Actually, the one guy for me was potentially for moving up was Will Smith.
Really?
Yeah.
Over Cooley. Interesting.
And that's mostly because of like the San Jose, he's going to be first line everything all the way. And he's showing at the college level his freshman year that he can put up points. But he does have that. He
was underwhelming at the World Juniors. Like, for a guy who that line was top two most comfortable with each other lines in the tourney, the other one being Sweden's top line with Oland, Lekkomäki, and Ogren. So, like, these kids have played together forever. They should be comfortable. They should look great. And I didn't even think he was the best player on that line in this tournament.
No, I think Gabe Perreault was the best player on that line.
Yeah.
In this tournament.
Coming home party for Gabe.
Yeah.
And I mean, Smith had his moments. I saw a lot of what I wonder about with Smith in terms of two-way play. When he gives it, he's there, but overall, I don't know about his projectability in the NHL as being a guy coaches love. You know, I've said quite often, I see Mitch Marner without the defensive acumen when I see Will Smith, and I just wonder how much less capable he is defensively. So that's interesting to me that you would think about him there. I'll let you keep Cooley here. I got the next one. This often is how this goes, is we give one and, you know, we're always debating on the next spot. So is that safe to say that Will Smith holds the number nine spot for you, or eight spot?
Yes. Yes, I would have kept him there at this point in time. And for what you were talking about with the World Juniors, I noticed the same things. But then out of nowhere, he just makes a brilliant play.
Sure.
And there's a goal, right? And so it's like that slap pass to Perreault, that pre-tournament game where you got the two goals. And just coming into San Jose, and San Jose is going to get another great pick here in this draft.
He didn't like, I agree, there were flashes. I would have liked to have seen a game where I wasn't saying Frank Nizar, Gavin Brindley was the best player on Team USA this game. There wasn't a single game where Will Smith was in that conversation for me. He just wasn't the most consistent guy. He wasn't the guy tilting the ice every shift, whereas those guys were. So to me, that's where I go. Number four pick last year. He was mentioned in the same sentence with the top three as being a guy who would be number one in other years. I would have liked to have seen a little bit of separation there for me. But it's only been a few months. He is looking good in college. Again, very comfortable, stacked team. But it's too soon to move the guy who most fantasy GMs had at five up to number four. I'll agree with that. So we're going to keep Will Smith where he was at number eight. Number nine, just so the listeners. So this is hard. Like, these next 10 players, I think we're both head over heels in love with for the most part. And it's hard to move them. So the next guy on this list, we originally ranked as being in a new tier. So just for recollection, we had Bedard in a tier. We had Fantilli, Clark, and Hughes in a tier. Then we had Michkov, Carlson, Cooley, Smith in the next one. And now we start the fourth tier. And that tier starts with Lane Hutson. Lane Hutson has done more of what he's always done at Boston this year. We are on the record as being somewhat underwhelmed with his tournament. I really expected a sort of record-breaking tournament based on that team and his abilities, but I thought his stock at best stayed the same, whereas a lot of other players like Seamus Casey and Zaboom both really impressed, and I came away going they're actually better than I thought they were. Lane Hutson, I'll say this, as the tournament went on, he did look more like a projectable NHL defenseman, which I think was probably the direction. But I still wanted to see a 15-point tournament out of the guy, and I can't say otherwise. That's what I thought we'd get from Lane Hutson. At times, he wasn't on PP1, whether that was based on him being out the shift before or whatnot. He wasn't a must-play for the first minute of the power plays. And do we discuss... So the guys that we are thinking about here are Benson, Hutson, Cutter? Do we talk about bumping up a Leonard Zellweger, Minty, Levi? I like these. Again, this tier is just so stacked.
I think, you know, Hutson at the World Juniors, one thing that stood out to me for like stat watching is he didn't put up big points in their blowout games.
No.
He was held off the score sheet in the blowout games. You know, however you want to take that, that's a lot of times that's kind of used against a player too. Be like, well, you know, I think I mentioned it when we were talking about Celebrini. It's like the only caveat, like he was Canada's best forward for sure. And, but he put up all his points against, you know, none of the elite teams at the World Juniors. Versus Lane did it later in the tournament. And he learned pretty quick that his like Harlem Globetrotter, you know, one-man show thing wasn't necessary on that team. So he made the quicker pass and things like that. Now, to answer your question, do we keep Lane here? Like, for me, if we're like arguing like over a defenseman next, necessarily, it's not necessarily has to be that way. But
what's best? It's best fantasy.
It is. It is.
But by any stretch,
it's. I think we still believe in that offense and that hole that's available to him in Montreal. Yep. You know, Matheson's done a great job in Montreal, and he's looked fantastic. But he's not going to be there forever.
He's trade bait.
Yeah. So Lane will be coming over at the end of the college season. We'll see if they go patient with him and do a year in the A, and then. But he's going to light up the A next year, and we'll be talking some wacky numbers as well. So
yeah, I'm happy to keep him. The opportunity again. It's hard to put Benson up there. I think he is the eventual top line winger, just because of his two way abilities, but they might space it out. They've got so much talent in that top nine. And then Cutter, he's the goal scorer. He's going to score 40 goals in the NHL. It was certainly interesting to see him be more of a play facilitator in the World Juniors. But, you know, Anaheim's got a lot of depth too, so who knows where he'll be there. So let's keep Hutson at 9. Number 10 on our list previously was Ryan Leonard. I'm ready to move him down, not because of performance, because of upside.
Upside and guys below him have exceeded where we first saw them at this point, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the guys I'm considering here are, I think Zellweger deserves a bump because his path became a little clearer this week. He's a guy who we said would be higher if there wasn't such a glut in front of him. I think Zellweger's in this spot. And I think the next spot is where we have the conversation. Either the next or the one after is where we talk about, okay, Leonard, Cutter, and Benson. What's that order? Yeah?
I still think there's, well, it's tough because I'm a bit wishy-washy. And it's only because he didn't make the NHL this year, which I agree.
Who?
Zellweger. I agree that is probably the best path for him to play in the A. They didn't need two rookie defensemen up there in Anaheim. And Minty was definitely the more NHL ready.
Minty's hurt, though. Zellweger's about to get called up.
Yeah, I did see that red flag by him. So
I mean, you can't ask much more than what Zellweger's done in his time in the NHL other than be Brent Clark. But if Brent Clark didn't exist, everyone would be talking about what Zellweger's doing.
Yeah, 22 points, 30 games. Yeah, where my mind was going was Benson. Benson leapfrogging up there at this spot. But
Zellweger or Benson? Yeah, I mean, they're so close. If you're a Zellweger owner, you trade him for Zach Benson right now?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I would have made that deal when I had Zellweger. Wouldn't you?
You know what? It would depend. So in our specific league, I think that trade could have been offered to you because Zellweger might be helping more than Benson pretty soon if he's getting this call up. But yeah, I like Zach Benson a lot. He's proved us all. Well, he's certainly proved the NHL GMs and scouts wrong. So let's put Benson there. Let's put Zellweger at 11, which previous. So Leonard is our faller so far. Zellweger is at 11. Number 12, we're talking Leonard, Minty, Cutter. Anyone else we're missing?
Yeah, I don't think there's many more that are going to be leapfrogging too high here from below there. Yeah, I think those are the guys there.
Well, the only other guy, and I'm going to spill the beans on this one early. There's a couple guys who I think need to jump up into our top 25-ish. Those are Brock Faber, who was previously unlised. Those are Nazar, who I think is going to be Bedard's future line mate now. I'm ready to make that claim. I thought there was one more guy I wanted to move up. That might be it. Yeah, Nazar, Faber. So those are the other guys who I think will need to show up pretty soon here. But for number 12, for right now, I think we're still talking about Leonard, Cutter, and Minty.
Yeah, Minty and Zelly are kind of like hand in hand. Like, because Mintyukov is more NHL ready, he had the more NHL frame.
Plays a more two-way game.
Yeah, more two-way game. But the thing you can't forget about him is he is an excellent offensive defenseman, too. Like when the reins were taken off in the OHL last year, he was putting up 2 points per game.
But then when he went to a more defensive team, he was not 2 points per game.
He was not. He went down to a point per game. And then, it's hard to say what he would be doing at the AHL level, too. But he's been nothing but fantastic with the Ducks.
For me, it comes down to utilizing a player properly. And Minty looks like the guy you can put out 25, 26 minutes a night. And Zellweger, unless you're putting him with a great defensive player, I don't think you want him out 25, 26 minutes a night. I think you want him playing 90 seconds of every power play. I think you want him getting offensive zone starts. And that's why, from a fantasy perspective, I think Zellweger is probably the one I want for upside. Which, I mean, Anaheim's going to be able to run two pretty strong units. So I think putting Minty here makes a lot of sense. Let's call it a tie But if I
can only stick, I was with you with the. We were both agreed that that was the plan for the Ducks too, or just the fact that Zellweger is, he just has this innate offensive ability that preseason, I remember anointing Zellweger as the guy PP one, and I'm not, because I traded him, I'm not gonna wish wash on that. I still think the guy's just.
I was just wondering when you were gonna. Like, I was trying not to say it, but...
Sublime. He's a sublimely talented offensive defenseman.
Ooh, erotic.
Yeah.
Okay, Minty's number 12. Number 13, we are either Ryan Leonard or Carter Gauthier. On the count of three, we're just going to say who we want here. You ready? Cutter or Leonard? One, two, three. Cutter.
Cutter. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah,
it's the like opportunity. It's with that
the opportunity, team. The offensive. I think Leonard's a guy who's going to win. He's a captain. I love the player, but in the last minute when you're down a goal, Cutter's the one I want on the ice.
Well, it's not even that. It's the power play. It's the caps. Like that's he's going to have next to nothing to work with in Washington. So it's, you know, if we're talking 2-3 years down the road here. Cutter's coming this year.
Although
Leonard might too. Here.
Leonard had played for the Caps when we ranked him number 10. Nothing's changed.
True.
From what we said, Leonard has done nothing but meet expectations, and he still plays for the Caps, who are still, they are a little better. So maybe you could argue, I can't remember what we said at the time. I think we probably thought the Caps were going to get a high pick this year. They're not in the bottom five right now. So less help is coming, but Leonard hasn't changed from what he was in September to today.
Nope. And that's not what I was saying at all. It's just more of Gauthier's position has improved.
Do you think so?
Well, outside of like... the Michkov possibility in the Philly.
Michkov possibility, yeah.
You know, that's what kind of like brought him, well, didn't bring him because it was his world championship performance that really kind of like opened my eyes to him last year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so what he's doing at Boston College this year is good. He had a good World Juniors, wasn't dominant by any means, but he was good. And so... You know, it's just Ducks versus Caps for me. I think they'll have similar. If they flip positions, I would pick Leonard.
For me, it's Ducks versus. The Caps. Only thing I would say to that is that with the Ducks top six, there's a chance Cutter isn't first line everything, unless he's clearly the guy. Like Troy Terry is a shooter. Troy Terry is a 40 goal guy. And maybe you do. I mean, they're just so stacked. But let's say the top line is Carlson, Zegras, X. And the second line is McTavish, Cutter, X. Like, that sounds pretty good to me. You sprinkle Terry in there. You sprinkle another UFA in there. And like I just said, Anaheim might do a similar thing to, oh geez, I'm blanking here. Who's running two power plays right? Oh, Detroit. Detroit has Kane and DeBrincat on power play two and Larkin on power play one. That's a scenario that I could absolutely see in Anaheim. So I'm kind of arguing against a guy I really like here, but opportunity-wise, I think Leonard's opportunity is actually better than Cutter's. There's no one stopping Leonard from first line everything. So I would say, as a player in a vacuum, I like Cutter's offensive upside more. And I'm willing to hang that on the Ducks. Leonard, he's going to be first line everything forever. We just don't have a clue who that's going to be with. So, and we know it's not going to be with Celebrini this year. Unless they make some pretty serious moves. So it's an interesting, those two are an interesting combo. Leonard, like, if you're a fan of a team, and let's say it's Arizona, and Arizona goes out and acquires Leonard and Gauthier, I think fans might actually prefer Leonard to Gauthier as far as the guy on their team. He's going to be that guy who it's going to be impossible not to root for. Cutter, to me, is a shoo-in for 40 goals. Leonard's more 30, 40 or 50 apples, which I think is what we had here for him. So, sure, it's an interesting kind of debate to have. But ultimately, I do think it just comes down to let's ignore what team they're on for a minute, because I think the situations almost cancel each other out. First line everything versus playing a stacked top six, or is, you know, it's a tough one. So let's hang our hat on the guy who we think is more offensive, and I think we're on the same page that it's Cutter.
Yeah.
All right. How far are we in here? 45 minutes. We're not getting through the whole list today. Number 15 on our list. We previously had Devon Levi there. I have a hard time bumping him for anyone that's beneath him.
Goalies, man. I'm tempted to just wipe all goalies off the list altogether because it's a. It could be anyone. You know, anyone could come in and take the league by storm. So
I've been talking about Alex Lyon for a while with the Hacks, and boy. Do I ever feel good about that signing in our league? That is, he had 47 saves last night against the Oilers.
Unreal. Did it with the Panthers last year.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but if we were taking goalies off our list, we would have had to have that discussion
before. So he was part of that tier with Hudson, yep. Leonard, Zellweger, Minty, Levi, and we moved Cutter up above him. And if we look kind of below,
we also moved Benson up above him
and moved Benson up. So if you look below him on our list, I would agree. He stays.
Yeah. I don't think he's been bad in Buffalo. And I think that Buffalo has left him hung out to dry a lot.
But I think more mismanaged him probably.
Yeah. He probably should have been in the A all year, but you know.
Yeah. Maybe even 2 years. Like, if you want like an elite level goalie, like your odds of getting one with him playing with them playing in a lower professional league rather than coming straight from junior college are a lot higher.
Mm-hmm. Having said that, I don't think it diminishes his upside on a stacked Buffalo team.
Nope.
All right, so we are into the next tier here, which previously started with Lucas Reichel, and spoiler alert, Lucas Reichel is dropping.
Yeah.
So the other guys in this tier were Jiříček, Wallstedt, Edvinsson. I think it's time to have the Brock Faber conversation. I think it's time to have the Frank Naser conversation. I think both these guys belong in this tier. Faber especially. I loved Faber in the playoffs last year for a kid who stepped out of college and was the best D on Minnesota in the playoffs. I loved him. I did not think that he had even 40-point potential, let alone the fact that he's probably going to score 40 in his rookie year.
Do you think he has power play one upside?
Huh. I think he can play power play one. I think he's the type of guy... I know, that's a cop-out. I think he's a guy who would be easily dislodged by a lot of guys who would be number two on other teams. But I think he can play power play one. I mean, he had a great game the other day. Him and Boldy connected for 6 points together. He was great. He can pass. The only thing holding him back from being PP1, I think, is probably he's not so much of a threat to score from the blue line. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to sag somewhere, you sag it on the point. But he's got very good vision. He's a great kid, just gets the puck and it's out of his zone. I love that. You made this comparison to a different D-man last week, and you can tell me who it was. I see Devin Toews is what I see when I see Brock Faber. I see that player where it's just like, don't even try and go against him. And the puck goes the right way with him. And Devin Toews is not the guy. you maybe want to be your number one defenseman in fantasy, but if he's your three or four, you're doing pretty well. Who did you compare Tavares to last week? Remind me.
It was Zeev.
Right, Zeboom.
Yeah. Zeev Boom.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Favor a lot. I will say pure fantasy upside between him, Yiracek, Edvinson, and Nazer. The guy I want in this spot's probably Nazer. That's how ready I am to say he's playing with Bedard. After watching him in the World Juniors, that's exactly what Bedard needs on his wing. He moves, he's fast. He moves the puck fast. He's a demon on the forecheck, which I didn't anticipate. And I think if he was 2 inches taller, he'd be in our top 10.
Interesting. Number 15 for Frank Nazar. Well, here's
a question. Here's a question for you. If we're disagreeing on this, who do you think you would trade Nazar for? Are the guys I just mentioned?
Well, again, are we talking like in a vacuum? Or are we talking opportunity to play?
We're talking for the parameters of this list.
So, like, guy that's coming up for potentially playing with Bedard.
Yeah.
The same. So we're, the guys you just listed. So, Yiracek, Edvinson.
Faber. Anyone else you want to throw into that pile? Any of them?
Well, I like Stankoven here.
No. Vito.
Vito?
Yeah.
You're going Nazar over Stankoven?
Hell yeah. It's not even close. In a vacuum, they switch spots at Stankoven, but Stankoven is a center on a team that has Wyatt Johnston and Rupe Hintz ahead of him. There's a winger who's outscoring him as a prospect on the same AHL team. If he doesn't shift to wing, which I don't know why Dallas would shift a guy like him to wing, he's blocked. Nazar has no one in front of him for playing with Bedard, and he's coming next year. I would not trade Nazar for Stankoven. So no, I'm not having the Stankoven discussion now, despite the fact that he is one of my favorite fantasy players to watch, period. I just think that Dallas is, you look at, I don't remember if it was with you or on the Hacks that I had this conversation. Why is Dallas winning games right now? Why has Dallas been winning games all year?
I don't know. All right. Tell me.
Because of their third line or second, depending on what night
it is. Depth, yeah.
But look at what Matt Duchene and Tyler Seguin are doing from a third line ice perspective. So now we're next year, and Duchene is a free agent, and Seguin's still there. You look at the success that you had rolling three lines the year before, and you've got a guy you can plug in right where Duchene was. I just don't see. How often do you see teams take guys who can play center and shift them to wing in a league like this where centers are so highly coveted?
When they're 5'7"?
So, Pajot does all right in that spot.
I just think he is built perfectly to be on that top line with once Pavelski leaves and playing with Rupe and Robertson.
You don't think they'd rather have a bigger guy there?
I don't think size doesn't really matter with Stanko. Well,
what are you saying? He can't be a C for.
He got me there. You're damn okay, right. So when we made the top 50 list last time, you wanted Reichel in there because he was Bedard's like running mate and all that.
And he had a hell of a year. I'll let you have it again. Year.
Throw your Nazar.
Well, it's my turn. It's my turn.
I know. But I'm saying
it wasn't Reichel just because. I thought he was going to be that guy. he also had a tremendous year last year.
He did.
Yeah. And he's completely fallen off the map, man.
And he's still good. He still has all the tools. Like, you watch him play, and he's way faster than you think he is. Mm-hmm. And
yes, I agree with that.
Chicago's they're just tremendously bad.
Did you watch the Oilers game the other night against Chicago that went to overtime?
I didn't, but
okay. He was a time bomb. He couldn't accept a pass. He couldn't make a pass. He fanned on three shots, if not more. Every time the puck came near him, he couldn't cycle. Every time the puck came near him, it was a turnover. It was like, I do still think there's a player there, but the fact that they have been fairly insistent on him running his own line, combined with now's his chance, and so far it doesn't look good. Combined with what I saw at World Juniors, I'm ready to say that Nazer is the guy. Unless they draft Yzerman this year, then maybe things change. But I still think Nazer's perfect. Like, put that guy in a line with a shooter. We saw it. Did you watch the compilation of his assists? Like, it was at the World Juniors. Yeah. It was insane. Like, he was so good. He was so good at sneaking pucks out of piles.
He's a hound dog too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are we calling this my gimme and now we're back to even?
Throw him in. Let's get crazy in here.
There you
Frank
go.
Nazar the third.
Frank Nazar
moving up.
Frank Nazar the 16th.
He was 33rd leading in. So that's not that big of a leap.
That's not that big a jump.
No.
Benson just made a similar jump. All right. Yeah, next up on our previous list Cutter was in this spot, and then it would be Yurecek. So I think we're talking about Faber. We'll talk about Stankoven because you want to talk about Stankoven. We'll talk about Yurecek. Edvinson was the last guy in that tier, and Wallstead also in that tier. How do you separate those guys?
Tough. Edvinson's and Yurecek. They both have some pretty significant blockage going on.
Since we made this list, Matejchuk and ASP have both put their names in.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Now, Edvinson's having a good year in the NHL. Yeah. Granted, it's his second year there, so he's had a year to kind of get his feet wet. 20 points in 30 games, 6 goals. That's a good year. He's come up, had a cup of coffee with the Wings. I'm an Edvinson owner in our keeper league, and I'm not so sure there's going to be high output for fantasy with him. I think he's going to be used in that second pair role. Power play might be tough to come by in Detroit. So he's a best second power play guy.
I don't know that I'd say at best, but he's a 1 in 3 chance.
Yeah, he could excel. Like,
in that, 5 years frame. There's 3 guys. Yeah. There's 3 guys who can play PP1 barring a Drysdale style trade. It's getting sticky in Detroit. That's actually what I said when the Drysdale trade happened, was how was Yzerman not on top of this? Because to me, you move one of Edvinson, who can play already, for Philly to go make a playoff run, like they probably Drysdale was plug and play. Edvinson could have played for them and probably played power play 1 for them. They'd be not much worse for wear in terms of they'd still have 2 guys who could play PP1 down the line, Insider and ASP. So I was surprised that Stevie wasn't on top of that one, because Detroit could use a cutter as well. Unless they're sure Danielson and Casper are the answer at 2C, I'd lean Danielson there. But yeah, it was an interesting move, or a not move on Stevie's part, I thought.
I'm just kind of like going through who to put up next. Yurecek having an okay year in the NHL this year. Werenski still there. And there's Stankoven. Do you see top power play minutes in Dallas in the next couple years, or even a guy like Korchinski.
Yeah, I was just thinking about him. Another guy who I'm ready to talk about pretty soon is Kulich. Genther's probably moving up.
Eklund. Yeah, we got lots of guys.
There's lots of guys to go here. I mean, Slafkovský should be moving up this list. He's been better than he previously was. So who do we put here? I got time for Stankoven here. I got, you know, the easy answer is Wallstead. Yeah, that's an easy slide in. He didn't have the best debut, but if you're looking for a fantasy goalie to acquire, he's in the list of three or four.
Sure, let's slide him up. Slide him up one.
And Wallstead, to make it easy. Okay, Wallstead comes in at number 17 for now. All of these rankings. Once we're done, we'll probably move a bunch of them. Number 18. Due to the question marks around the people we're talking about here, I think the answer is Stankoven or Korchinski here.
Eklund, now that I think about it, because he's doing it at the NHL level. Yeah. He's going to be top line everything.
He's progressing.
He's progressing. Good. He's going to be in a good position in a couple years. Looks great. Passes that eye test.
And he's not playing with much and doing more with it than, say, Reichel is. I'm okay with Eklund there. Let's do Eklund there. Sweet. I like that. Number 19 on our list. I think the answer here is Korchinski. Until Chicago drafts another D this year.
Yeah, to be supplanted by... Yeah. Do they have three firsts again this year, Chicago?
10 firsts. Okay, so we are at number 20. Previously, number 20 was occupied by... I don't know how my list works anymore. One was two, so 20 would be 21. Nikishkin. Guys we have left behind here are Nikishkin. I know I always do it. Edvinsson, Yerchek, Reichel's dropping, so we don't really need to talk about that. So who do we... How far... Here's where I get a little stuck. Edvinsson, Yerchek, and Stankoven. I think the answer here is Stankoven or Nikishkin because they're still exceeding expectations. Whereas I'd say Edvinsson and Yerchek are meeting them. Stankoven, as I've said, I have some concerns with deployment, and a lot of that has to do with Maverick Bork being there. But I mean, the guy's second to Maverick Bork in scoring in the AHL. So, and his tools I like better than Bork. I've never said otherwise. So Stankoven or Nikishkin, these are your guys. So, well, I guess Stankoven was mine first, but and so was Nikishkin, actually. Both of them were mine first, but who do you like?
They're both going to be start making a splash at the same time. Coming in.
Yep.
I'm going to go Nikishkin. I just think Carolina, as long as Morrow doesn't take that power play one spot and run with it, there's going to be a hole there waiting to be filled in Carolina.
No, and Morrow will take a lot more time to adjust than Nikishkin will. Nikishkin will step in and be a top four D-man. Morrow, you guys still play that kid. All right, we're going to Nikishkin at 20. I like that. Stankoven at 21. I like that. So now we're talking about Edvinsson, Yerchek. Kulich?
Kulich, Slafkovský.
Yeah. Maybe Genther. I mean, Genther's looked good in his very limited time. I think I'd probably put him at the bottom of that list, though.
Yeah.
All right.
I think Slaf is going to be... He's working on that top line in Montreal. He looks good. He's putting in... Like, if you tune into the Habs Reddit page, it's Slafkovský time all the time over there. Yeah. He's just putting in extra work and, you know... Everyone's rooting for him there. And
you know, if Caulfield wasn't shooting almost a third of his normal shooting percentage, Slaf would have more points than he has right now, too.
Hmm. Like we're buying the upswing here, and if this was 2 months ago, we would be sliding Slefkovský down.
I think he would stay about the same. I mean, what we said about Slefkovský in September was, this is a guy who we're not going to know what he is till he's 24. So 4 months is too soon to knee-jerk him up or down. 4 months is too soon to knee-jerk him down. But I'd say that, like, the progression he's made, I'm ready to say he's higher than we had him, which was 32.
And he's a puck hound. He goes into the corner. He's coming out with it a lot of times.
Big. Do you see which that is, hit?
And so like he's learning to use his frame, and that ability to like go into the corner, get the puck, and if he can figure out the timing and the space to find Caulfield open, that's just like that's gonna be magic
for Tuzi Naslund.
Yeah, because that's exactly what, like, that's Caulfield's bread and butter, like standing in that one spot and putting it shelf short side. Yeah.
For me, let's just focus on the forwards for now. I think Kulić has 40 goal scorer written all over him, assuming he gets power play time in Buffalo, which they're wasting him if he doesn't. I don't know that I'd say the same for Slefkovský. But Slav is doing it in the AHL. So, does that win him the 22nd spot? I mean, all these guys we're talking about at this point are not in the AHL other than Slav. So, yeah. Does he win because we're seeing it already and he's maybe a little ahead of big boy schedule? If I offered you Kulić for Slefkovský right now, would you take it?
Right now? No, because he's just scratching that surface of what we thought he was going to be.
Well, then the answer is Slav.
Yeah.
But also, I wouldn't offer that. But I think that his upside is, you know, we might even be selling him short. Let's not forget what he did at the Olympics.
He's top line. He's top line right now in the NHL. And he's performing.
Who is he competing with for top line minutes in Montreal?
Doesn't matter.
It does. Okay, let me rephrase the question. On how many teams in the NHL would Slefkovský be on the top line on right now? I'm going to say San Jose, Chicago, Montreal. Nashville? No, he wouldn't be on Nashville. Who else? Who am I missing? Exactly. So no, it does matter what team he's on.
It's what he's up against. Like, is there anyone that's going to come up that's going to supplant him from there?
Not right now. But what you said was he's Montreal. Top line in the AHL, and what I said is Montreal is barely, like, they're in the relegation.
But he's getting those minutes in Montreal, and he's not going to lose those minutes.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily true. I could see Slav being bumped down, but it's not by anyone who's in their system right now. You know, it would be a fun line together because Suzuki and Caulfield are attached. But if Josh Roy pans out, he could also thrive with a guy like Slefkovský and they'd have two scoring lines. So I don't think he's locked, but he's playing top line on an NHL team right now. So we'll give him 22.
And we just did that with Eklund too. So
would you trade Slefkovský for Eklund right now? You have to say yes. We just put Eklund 4 spots on
there. Well, like I said, he's just scratching the surface. Do I think he's going to necessarily be there? I think there'll be similar offensive output, guys.
I like Eklund to hold top line better. But
that's fair. He's a bit more skilled.
I think that he will complement what's coming in San Jose very nicely. They'll complement him as well. All right, 23. We are looking at Edvinsson, Jiříček. At some point, we have to slam these guys in because they have done nothing to deserve falling. Askarov and Wolf.
So no to the goalies. So maybe we should do a little D run here.
Are we knowing to the goalies? Why are we knowing the goalies? They haven't dropped yet. I don't think they've done anything to deserve dropping.
No.
And I think that Well, Kulich
can probably I just would take those three D-men above those goalies.
Pending league categories. I would gladly trade Edvinson or Yiricek for a goalie in our league of that caliber. And in a league that was categories, absolutely. Like goalie categories and category leagues, goalie stats are so important, and goalie wins and plays and saves, save percentage are all so important that I would absolutely take the goalie there. But we can keep them where they are ish. So let's
talk. I do have a wild card that wasn't on our list to begin with.
Joe Wall.
No, Matthew Putra.
Oh, I'm not ready to talk about him yet. But yes, he should be. I think that there are some guys coming up in the 30s. I think the 30s is where we start to talk about the guys who aren't on our list. Maybe it's just because we're coming off World Juniors. And I'm a Putra owner. So
I think he came back and 2 assists his first game. Like,
did he have 2?
But let's get these demons sorted here, though.
Let's get the demons sorted here. Let's just keep them in the same order. Yiricek's got a boomer. What he Yiricek's did in the NHL last year was pretty.
I would put opportunity Nikishin over Edvinson.
Nikishin, he's a 20.
Oh, okay. So we're just Yiricek Edvinson?
This is Yiricek Edvinson. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not writing this down, so.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We should screen share. Yeah, we put Nikishin and Korchinski beside each other at 19-20, interrupted by Stankov and Slaff, and then 2 more D. So we're at number 25. We are halfway through our list.
Should we guys do this one and then call it for the first half of the list?
No, I think we should get to 30. I think that the real work comes between 30 and 50. We'll go to about the 90-minute mark, I think.
Okay.
And then we'll call it because, yeah, like the top 10 was pretty easy here. I'm looking at the 30 to 50, and I'm just like, there's combined with the guys we still. Oh, you know who? Brock Faber has to be here. Brock Faber has to be 23.
Okay.
And then Faber will bump these two down.
See, I thought we had put Faber in already.
We have not. We talked about him a lot, and then we didn't put him in. 26. All right, so here's the guys I want to talk about at 26 off the top of my head. We've got everyone covered other than our goalies. To me, we are talking about Kulich. We are talking about probably Putra. We are talking about Lekkomäki. And I think at some point here, I mean, Musty looks really good. Genther is the other guy that I think that we should be talking about here. What do you think? Am I missing? Matthew Nyes has been, I mean, I thought he'd have more points by now, given the ice time that he's gotten and who he's gotten it with. I still am all on board, but I thought he'd have 10 more points than he has right now.
This might be premature, but, ooh, and understandably so, heading into this season, he was not even close to being considered for our top 50. One assist in 19 games last year. But with 24 points in 40 games, 12 goals, 12 assists, Marco Rossi with the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, he's probably there too. I mean, Connor Zeri is another guy whose name should be coming up soon.
What did we have as cutoff? Do you remember?
For what? Games played?
Yeah.
Rossi wouldn't have crossed that. How many games had he played before this year?
It was 20 total.
Yeah, 21 I think total. We were talking around. It was Slaff would have been the cutoff, right? So I think he had 39 last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was half a year. How many games has he got now then? 60?
Yeah, he'd be at 61.
Yeah, I got time for Rossi for sure. Well, I guess we just have to one for one this. To me, Kulich and Genther are very similar players. Putra has a pretty good path to line one in Boston. Rossi has a pretty good path to line one in Minnesota. Lekkerimäki is where we thought he would be when he was drafted now. So they're all... And you know another name that I think has to move up a little bit, not because of situation change, just because he's been so good, is Nemec. We knew Nemec was good, but he's been Jersey's best defenseman. I still don't know that he's more than a number three as far as lined up for offensive minutes goes, but the second he moves up to number two, he shoots up our list of fantasy assets. So it gets interesting. So let's just talk upside. Kulich, I think, is a 70 guy, 40-30, 40-40 player. Genther, I think, is a 40-30, 40-40 player. Putra is probably a 20-50 guy. Rossi's probably similar to that. Lekkerimäki's got that for if he figures out how to hone that shot a bit more, he's got 40 goal upside, but I'd probably put him behind Kulich and Genther.
Mm-hmm.
So let's limit this conversation to the previous four I mentioned. Yeah.
I would go Kulich here.
Yeah, I think so too.
He's done at the AHL level twice now. And at the World Juniors twice now.
Yeah.
So him simplifying his game, like he's the trigger guy. So that's the one thing that if he's not necessarily just like going to be the guy teeing up all the time and using his teammates more, the assists will come. It'll open up lanes for him as well.
Yeah. I see Caulfield. I see Caulfield when I watch Kulich just from the other side.
Yeah.
He doesn't create a ton. Caulfield's two goals to every assist. I can see that being the case for Kulich, but because Buffalo is so stacked, probably a little bit more. Yeah, I like Kulich a lot there. I think Genther next, but these next three. Well, why don't we do this? Genther's upside is playing with Cooley as line one. Rossi's upside probably isn't playing with Kaprizov because that's going to be Yurov, who we should have in our top 50 at some point. And Putra's is playing with Pastis. So based on that, is the answer Putra here?
I'm willing to overlook the World Juniors and just
me too.
Base it off of like what he's been able to do. And he does it at the NHL level, making smart plays.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you know, if we had this discussion before the World Juniors, I think it would be a no-brainer that he's at 27. He might even be a smidge higher. So I don't think it's fair to hold a silly two-week tournament on a team with a coach that doesn't even look like he should be coaching in place of Emilio Estevez.
Well, he's 19. If he can get his wheels going a little bit more, too.
Good play. And a shot. Yeah. He's a better shooter than in the NHL than he was in the OHL. It's a strange thing. Okay, so Kulich 26, Putra 27, 28. We're talking about Genther, Rossi, Lekkerimäki. So,
do you want to go the goalies? Slide the goalies in here before Genther?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do Wolf. Do we still like Wolf over Askarov? I don't know how you
can... Yes, I believe Wolf has a better lane opportunity there.
All right, so here we are at number 30. Wow. Number 30.
So really what we're looking at for 30, we got Gunther, Nyes, Coronado. Rossi.
Snuggy. Coronado's not in the same list as these guys right now, I don't think.
I'm just talking guys that were around this range in our original top 50.
The guys who have improved their stock, I'll say Nyes. We had him at 27 before. He's playing top line in Toronto. You know, if and when he gets on that power play, he'll be dangerous. Snuggerud, more of the same from him. 40 goal guy for sure. Gunther, very similar to Snuggerud. And Rossi has certainly earned a spot on this list. So, and I'm looking at the 30 to 50 range. I see a lot of guys that aren't sticking around. So, and then Nimitz. But fantasy-wise, I don't think I'm ready to have that conversation yet.
Not quite, no.
Yeah. So,
Although, Edvinson versus Nimitz. Like, Nimitz is already doing it at that NHL level. Edvinson doesn't have any higher chance of taking that power play one over than...
I would disagree with that. I would say Edvinson has a 33% chance of being power play one. I think Nimitz, it stands, has a zero. Yeah.
I think it's
ahead of Edvinson? Who's the lock? Is it Sider?
If it's not Sider, then it's going to be someone like Gostisbehere or ASP comes and takes it.
Well, ASP,
I don't think the plan
him.
Is Edvinson to be power play one guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then we should drop him. If you think that he's not even going to be given the shot at power play one, then he has to drop. My thoughts are he's 33%. I do think that next year we finally get to see Sider unleashed for the full season as power play one. I think we'll see Edvinson as power play two. I think ASP is 3 years away minimum. So he's going to get time there. And we have seen, what if, like, when Sider's on power play one, he doesn't get enough time to really feel comfortable there. I think that he feels a very short leash due to Gostisbehere and due to his pending contract negotiation. But he hasn't done anything to me to say, no one's taking this spot from me.
Okay.
And if you're Detroit and you're going for it, because they are now entering their playoff era, are you going to keep spending $4 million on a Gostisbehere when you have Sider, Edvinson, and ASP on your team, or even two of them? No, those guys can run your power play. Go figure out who it is. So I struggle to see a world where he doesn't get a shot at PP1. But I mean, the reason I would say that, we'll go back to the Anaheim argument. Who do I want playing 30 minutes a night on that defense? It's Sider. So where am I yanking back on some of those minutes? Power play one, if I've got Edvinson right there ready to play, you know, similar style offense. I'm surprised to hear you say you don't think he has a 33% shot at that. That's a surprise to me.
Yeah, I see him more used in that penalty kill, second pairing role.
But don't you think that Sider's penalty kill?
Yeah, as well.
So Sider's PK1.
Sider could be PK2 in there. It's just that reach that that Edvinson's got, and just his ability to cover the ice. And
but do you think he was drafted?
Not to say a PK1 guy can't be a PP1 guy, but I don't know. I've just kind of grown to like maybe question a little bit of that offensive upside with him.
But that, would you agree that's why he was drafted, though? He wasn't drafted to be a defensive guy. Not after what, you know.
A two-way.
he's a puck rushing
a two way guy. They didn't quite know what they had in Sider at the time too. So the cream will rise to the top there. And 20 points in 30 games in the AHL is nothing to sneeze at for a second year.
No, it's two less than Zellweger, but
yeah,
in his second year. Well,
we can hang on to it. I was just saying that for
we'll finish Nemec. This conversation. Yeah, I think so. When I look at those two, Nemec has a 1% chance of dislodging a healthy Hamilton and Hughes.
True.
To me, Edvinson has a.
Yeah, you got me there. Edvinson does have better chance to get power play one than I could. We could have saved the last 8 minutes here by me not saying that. So, yeah, he does have.
If you didn't like the sound of your voice so goddamn much, you know, that's the. Is it that you just really like saying, I don't know, because that seems to be where this comes from. Let's get number 30 out of the way. Here's who we're talking about. We are talking about Rossi. We are talking about Genther. We are talking about Nice. We are talking about... I think that's probably Lekkomäki. For me, it's between Genther and Nice. Rossi has stepped up. Rossi is going to be on our list. It also took him a lot of opportunities to get there. Nyes has hit and stuck. He was very good in the playoffs last year. I do think that as his comfort rises in the NHL, so will his output. I still think he's exactly what they need on the top line in Toronto. Genther has had a very good AHL season, isn't competing with a lot in Arizona, and has certainly come in hot with 3 points in 3 games. So for me, and then Lekkomäki's the question mark. So based on him being the question mark, let's drop him off of this conversation for this spot, because I don't know that his upside is higher than, say, Genther, and we've seen Genther at higher levels, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's Nyes or Genther here. Anyone you want to add to that conversation?
No, I think that's pretty good. I'd say between those two for offensive output, I would go with Genther. Nyes might be like that perfect, you know, NHL create best chemistry on a line old thing they had.
Like EA.
But I don't see him getting power play one time in Toronto, especially those top three or top four aren't going anywhere anytime soon there. And then, yeah, and then Gunther.
I don't know about that. I think that he swaps into the Tavares spot nicely. You seem pretty sold on Tavares re-upping at $6 million at the end of this contract, though. I know.
Or less.
Six or less. Yeah, all right, I'll give you Genther here. I mean, 40-goal guy, yeah. Nyes' upside's probably more like 30 goals, 40 assists. Genther's the other way around. Take the guy who scores more. All right, that's our top 30. We're at an hour and a half. I'm not doing this all night. Let's finish this off next week. I think there are some very hard conversations to have. Some guys for all you listeners to watch for next week, besides who we've just mentioned. Connor Zary is going to be in this conversation. We need to seriously look at where Maverick Bork fits on this list. Some fallers, you know. Does Lucas Reichel stay in the top 50? Stay tuned. Who else? Miro Shishenko, Forster, Holloway, I think. As the Oiler fan, I will sadly say he's falling off this list. I don't know where Reinbacher goes. I don't know where Shane Wright goes. Marco Kasper falls off this list for me. Oliver Moore, that'll be a conversation.
I want to see where we come up with for Gabe Perreault.
Gabe Perreault will be in the top 50.
The guy does it at every level. And once he figures out a level, it goes on easy mode almost. Like, look at
similar to Jack Quinn.
Yeah, like he, the the round robin for World Juniors was good and all that, but then Meta Round comes around and he's the best player.
Yeah, his toolkit is perfect for the World Juniors, but you look at, say, Oliver Moore, who he was compared to a lot going into the draft, and there's no question to me that Perot's the better option there right now. So, yeah, he's an interesting one. The fallback there would be I don't see him getting time in New York anytime soon, but that's not to say that he doesn't have huge upside. And then Wood, your boy Wood, he's probably moving up a smidge.
Well, yeah.
He has had an okay college year. But...
yeah. Coronado. Anyways, these are all guys we'll talk about next week. We might have a little bit more time to discuss around the NHL. Are we doing... We kind of skipped it. I'm sorry. Are we doing a game of the week this week?
I scoured to look for games to watch. You know, we had talked.
You did.
We've wanted to watch Maverick and Stankoven, but the matchup's not great this weekend. They're playing Chicago Wolves, who are a Carolina affiliate right now. They're not even a Chicago affiliate anymore, or Rockford or whoever. But
yeah, you got that backwards.
Yeah, and then there's not much going on in the CHL, so we're gonna stick to see what these USA guys got going on coming back from Boston College. So they got Providence this weekend. So,
and who are we watching on Providence?
Ooh, there's not much. Not much. There's a Toronto draft pick, fifth rounder from last year.
Is it Teverberg? Teverberg?
No, it's Malinsky. Malinsky something. Well, let me pull it up.
Well, it doesn't matter. There's not much. We're not watching much there.
No, we're tuning in to watch
Boston. See how Cutter reacts to this trade. I think he'll come in with a chip on his shoulder. I think he's going to put out a big middle finger to the Philadelphia brass by putting up one of his bigger games of the season here.
But coming up, you got Boston College versus Boston University, 1-2 in the nation. They're playing a weekend set. No, I think it's the weekend of like the 23rd or something. They're playing a weekend set. So we're
watching Boston again.
Yeah. And then they play opening game of the Beanpot, which happens the following weekend. So,
all right. So I'm going to put an asterisk here. If you find something better to watch, we're not watching Boston this week because you've got a couple weeks of Boston following this.
I know. I'm awful. I tried to look for Michigan State, and their matchup isn't great either. And I wanted to see some more Louvre there or even Denver. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is a record for our top 30. I'm sure there will be some tweaking and twalking by the time we're actually done this thing, as we saw with our Edvinson conversation there. But... there's our 30 for now. Just to recap, number one, Bedard, Fantilli, 2, Hughes, Clark, Michkov, 5, Carlson, Cooley, Smith, Hudson, Benson, 10, Zellweger, 11, Minty, Cutter, Leonard, Levi at 15, Nazar, Wallstead, Eklund, Korchinski, Nikishin, 20, Stankoven, Slavkovsky, Faber, Juracek, Edvardsson, 25, Kulich, Hutra, Wolf, Askarov, Genther rounds out our top 30. And we'll be coming at you with the rest of the top 50 and probably a tweak or two next week. Thanks for tuning in once again. We appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Stay warm if you're in Western Canada. Stay inside. I'm not leaving the house. I don't know about you, pal.
Yeah, no, there's sports on. It's NFL weekend, playoff weekend. There's lots going on. Yeah.
Nowhere to go. Calling in sick. All right. Nice chatting with you, buddy.
You too.
All right.
Enjoy your weekend. Everyone.